Well, by now we know, by now we know that this is the first Sunday of Advent for 2023. Over the past few Advents in the past years, we have looked a little deeper into the words of God's Holy Spirit as the Spirit gave these to Isaiah the prophet some many thousands of years ago. We're going to review those words this morning, but for those upstairs, I'm just going to go verses 6 and 7. Verses 6 and 7. We've heard these this morning already, and so it's Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, page 683 in the Pew Bible. So let us hear the word of God. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, during the Advent series years ago, we have looked in depth at a number of those titles, but not all of them. For example, we looked at Jesus coming as the Wonderful Counselor, and also Jesus as the Mighty God. Now, there are people who don't understand even today that Jesus was God in human form, completely God in human form on this earth. So by rights, he is called the Mighty God. So he's the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, and Everlasting Father. Those are words which would be very difficult for the Jewish people in that day to think about the coming Messiah and how the Messiah was going to fill all of these roles. But now this morning, we're going to look, and next week, the Lord willing, we're going to look at the next title, and that is the Prince of Peace. If there ever was a time in the world when we need peace, it is now. Yes, the world needed peace during World War I and World War II and every other skirmish or war that's has taken place throughout the world. People need peace today. I'm thinking of those in Ukraine. I'm thinking of those in Russia who don't want to be a part of what's happening in Ukraine. I'm also thinking of those in Israel and Gaza and Lebanon and Jordan and in all of those areas where peace is desperately sought after. It's desperately required. Of the four titles given to our Lord Jesus Christ in Isaiah's prophecy, this is one of the greatest. It's one of the greatest because to be the Prince of Peace meets every single person, every single organization, and every single government at the very basis of their operation. The Prince of Peace, turning to Jesus as our coming Prince of Peace. In fact, Israel has not experienced this full peace in all of its existence. What we know about Israel from reading the Old Testament and, in fact, into the New, is that when they followed the Lord, things were going along well. And when they decided to do things in their own sight, things were not going well at all. In fact, they got far away from doing what God would want them to do. Now, really, that's a parallel for you and for me. When you and I are following the Lord's will in our life, things are going to go along smoothly. And when we do not, we're going to find that there are rough patches in our life. When we stop to think about it, could there be anything more welcome than peace in this great hour of unrest and conflict and bloodshed that's going on? Think of it, the coming of the Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace represents the author of peace. He, that is Jesus, represents the author of peace, the arbitrator of peace, and the authenticator of peace. All of this in Jesus. We also recognize this. We're going to take a look at the Prince of Peace as the author of peace. The Prince of Peace as the author of peace. Now, as the author, we read this, and his name will be called, then you go down a little bit further, and it says, the Prince of Peace. Now, biblical scholars tell us that there are no less than 15 different Hebrew words that could be translated as prince, not as peace, but as prince, 15 different Hebrew words. And some of those words are ruler and leader and captain. And then if we allow the Greek translation to influence our thinking, it also includes author and pioneer. What becomes clear is that the Lord Jesus came into this world in order to make peace, give peace, and preach peace. Hear those words again. Make peace, give peace, and preach peace. Now, what do we know about our blessed Savior Jesus? Among many things, we know that in terms of peace, that he brought peace at his birth. He taught peace with his life, and he bought peace by his death. All of this by Jesus, accomplished by Jesus for you and for me and for the world over. How sad it is that much of the world does not even recognize this as a possibility, and yet it is. Jesus brought peace at his birth. The angelic announcement was, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Or, as one translation says, peace to men on whom his favor rests. Now, there was a time in history when the hour was more propitious, more favorable, for the coming of Christ into the world than when Jesus came. Was there ever another time? There are lots of times throughout history when there could have been peace coming into this world, and it never happened. But according to God's timing, at the fullness of time, Jesus came at precisely the right moment. We need to remember, this is God's timetable. God is the one who determined when Jesus should come to this earth, and he came at the appropriate time. World conditions were, but when the time was fully come, God sent his Son. That we know. Now, world conditions were ripe at the time for God's supreme act of his redemptive purpose. If we're able to search the pages of history for a better time, I think we would not find a better time. Jesus came at precisely the right moment, keeping in mind that God is the author of all of this. He delegated authorship of peace to Jesus himself, and Jesus came to this world when the world needed him more than at any other time. Now, mind you, the world needs the Prince of Peace to come now in our time for all sorts of reasons. And one of these days, he is coming back. Did you know that that's a surprise to many people, many churchgoers, many people who call themselves Christian? They don't know that Jesus is going to come back again. But we know that he is. Praise be to God. We know that Jesus is coming to this earth. We know that a rapture is going to occur. We don't know the exact time, but what we do know is that these two events are going to come. There seems to be no better time for our Lord's second coming than now. Any day now would be absolutely wonderful. I'm thinking of a young lad who was an infant. His daddy went off to war. And when he went off to war, the only connection that the little boy had with his dad was a picture, a photograph that was on the mantle. So every now and then, often during the week, the little boy would go and grab the picture, the photograph, and he'd look at it and he'd say, Daddy, I wish you could step out of this picture and hold me. Isn't that a beautiful sign? Daddy, I wish you'd step out of the picture and hold me. Incidentally, fathers, children need to be held by their fathers. Children need to be blessed by their fathers. Fathers, we need to take spiritual leadership in our home. And when we look at this, I'm thinking that this little boy looked at the photograph and said, Daddy, would you step out of the picture and come and hold me? It's a wonderful picture of what happened with Jesus. Jesus stepped out of heaven. He stepped out of a place where there is not time like we have it today. He stepped into the world in the form of his Son, and the very angels of heaven pronounced peace on earth. This peace on earth was going to come through none other than Jesus. Jesus brought peace at his birth, and Jesus taught peace in his life. I can't imagine being in the physical presence of Jesus and having him look at me and tell me something. I've often thought how wonderful that would be, to be in the actual presence of Jesus. Now, I know he's present with us this morning in the form of his Holy Spirit working in you and in me, and collectively we have more of the Spirit than when we do all on our own. But just to be in the presence of Jesus, he must have had those magnetic eyes, a magnetic voice that just drew people to him. I'm thinking of the fishermen. That was what they were doing. And Jesus called the fishermen. They met him eye to eye. I think of the tax collector. He met him eye to eye. I think of the thousands of people, not just hundreds, but thousands of people who were touched by Jesus. They were healed by Jesus. The demon, those who were demon-possessed, they were exorcised. They got out, the demon came out of them. Can you imagine being in the very presence of Jesus himself? And we read this. Jesus looked into the faces of men, and he said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Now, you know, in this day and age, we have trouble. We have tribulation. Not the big tribulation that's going to come. That's going to affect the whole world. But as individuals, we have trouble and we have some tribulation. But what we need to do is keep our eyes focused on Jesus, who said, I have overcome the world. I've overcome the world in your life and in your life and in your life. Jesus has done that. Then another time Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Now think about those words for a moment. I do not give to you the kind of peace that the world gives. Over and over again, government leaders and nations have signed treaties of peace. And how long did they last? Not very long. That isn't the kind of peace that Jesus is referring to. Jesus is referring to perfect peace, the peace that only comes from him. The very presence of Jesus brought peace to those who needed it, not only through our Savior's word, but all through our Savior's way. Now, granted, Jesus was God in human form, and he was in complete control of every situation surrounding his life while he was here on earth. And he could combat anything. I always got a kick, and still do, get a kick out of the people who try to argue with Jesus. No point in arguing with Jesus. He already knows the answer. He knows what the story is. That's who he is and whom we follow. But in Jesus, people could see a composure and a calmness and a tranquility that they could receive in no other way. Jesus moved these people who followed him closely, because after all, they watched him silence storms. They watched him exorcise demons. They watched him heal diseases. And they watched him and listened to him as he spoke peace to those who were overcome by sin. There were people in the Old Testament that were overcome by sin. There are people in the New Testament that are overcome by sin. There are people in our midst today, all of us, who can be overcome by sin in thought, word, or deed. And yet what you and I need to do is look to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. One time, a newspaper reporter spoke to the then president of the United States. What was his name? Herbert Hoover. Yeah, Herbert Hoover. That was back in 1929 to 1933, so it goes back a long ways. But anyway, essentially the reporter went to him and he said, Mr. President, how do you put up with all the criticism that you receive? It seems as though nobody's satisfied with whatever it is you're doing. And I know, the reporter says, you get some accolades, but most often you get people who are criticizing you all the time. Listen to what the president said. No, I knew when I went into politics what I might expect. So when it came, I wasn't disappointed or upset. Then he continued, besides, I have peace at the center. You know, inner peace comes from looking to God, our source. Peace is the gift of Jesus Christ. Jesus, before leaving his disciples, said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Now that was President Herbert Hoover's response to the reporter. What a marvelous position he was in, that he would make that stand, his trust in Christ as Savior and Lord. And I can't help but think about our own today politicians of almost in any land, anywhere. I don't hear them giving credit and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't hear them talking about praying. I don't hear them talking about waiting for the influence of God in their decisions. What I hear is that they are making a lot of decisions based on their so-called human wisdom and also on what culture is demanding. Culture may be demanding it. That doesn't make it right. What makes it right is, does it align up with the Word of God or does it not? And wouldn't it be wonderful if our politicians in Canada and elsewhere would stand up, stand on the Word of God, and tell the entire people throughout the land, whatever land it is, that the Prince of Peace is the only one who is going to bring peace to any of us. Jesus brought peace at his birth. He taught peace during his life, and Jesus bought peace by his death. Difference between brought and bought. Finally, he bought peace by his death. In Paul's letter to the Colossians, we read this, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, now watch this, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. He bought it through the shedding of his blood, which was shed on the cross. In other words, it was Jesus who paid the price for our reconciliation. And reconciliation simply means restoration. We can be restored into the presence of God by putting our trust in Jesus. The human race, all because of an Adam and Eve sin, have been alienated from a holy and absolutely righteous God. But Jesus, bless him, because of his birth and because of his life and because of his death, he brought peace to this world. He brings it to you and to me. Governments will not have peace until they recognize Jesus as the Prince of Peace. Families will not have peace until they recognize Jesus as the Prince of Peace. You and I will not have peace until we recognize Jesus as the Prince of Peace. We are reminded that Jesus is the author of peace. Jesus brought peace at his birth. He taught peace by his life. He bought peace with his death. And so I'd like to leave us this morning with these words. The words are this: peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Now that's a message to you. When we read the scripture, we can read it in a number of ways. We can read it as all God's words apply to somebody else, or we can make it very personal. And sometimes, even in a passage like this, peace I leave with you. Personalize it. Peace I leave with me. Your peace I give to me. Jesus says, I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart, Lionel, be troubled. Do not be afraid. We can personalize the scripture. This is the way in which Jesus is talking to you and talking to me. My prayer is that during this Christmas time, during this Christmas season, that if you have not focused on Jesus as the Prince of Peace, that you will do so. And in order to have full advantage of all that he offers in terms of peace, you need to look to him as your Savior and make him Lord of your life. That's my prayer for you. Father, we thank you for Jesus, Jesus who brought peace by his very birth, who taught peace through his life, not only to the disciples, but to all who were laboring under the burden of sin in their lives, and people turned to him, and Jesus bought peace with his death by the shedding of your blood, Lord Jesus, on the cross of Calvary, because it was your blood that washes over us as individuals, covers over our sin, so that when our Father looks at us, he sees us as redeemed people because of the work of Jesus, not because of our work, but because of the work of his Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and thank you in our Savior's name. Amen.